somebody, so I'm going to carry it with me. If you need it, I'll give it back to you. But it's been here for weeks now. All right, God bless you. Let me get this little thing here turned on. And so take your Bible, if you will, the book of Revelation, chapter number 21. That's where we looked at this morning. We'll look at one verse there tonight, and we'll take off from there, Lord willing. And so I hope you'll find the spot. If you're able to stand, we'll do that. Verse 5 and verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. And Lord, what good singing. What a blessing to hear all these boys and girls, these men and women singing for the cause of Christ. I pray your blessings now upon this congregation, bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. And we plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on all things new. You know, this morning we talked about, you know, that God's going to be our God and he's going to dwell in us, walk with us, tabernacle among men. In fact is, let me tell you, not only is God dwelling with us and walking in us, but it's a permanent thing. It's something going to be today. It's something that'll be tomorrow. It's something that'll be forever. In other words, when God saves you, whatever God does, he'll do it forever. And I'm glad to know that we ain't got to come back tomorrow fresh and new and beg God to be our God. But let me tell you, when he becomes your God, he'll be your God forever. And let me say to you, until you come to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, he will not be your God. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out that this chapter deals with a lot of new things. In verse number 1 and 2, we'll not take time to read it, but it's going to be a new heaven and there's going to be a new earth. And then out of that, there's going to be a new city. There's going to be a new Jerusalem that he talked about. And she's coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And then not only that, but in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians, don't turn there, chapter 15, verse number 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," are you in Christ tonight? "If therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." I'll tell you what a new creature is. He's prepared a new creature for a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. I begin to look into this Bible lesson. I begin to realize and know that what the world wants is that they'd like to be able to have peace without the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you, you're never going to be able to have the peace that passeth all understanding until you don't come to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Over in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 6, and I'll let you turn there and mark it. Don't lose your place, by the way. But in the book of Jeremiah, in about chapter number 6, it's an old familiar passage. I'm talking about the world is liking to have peace when there is without the Prince of Peace, and there's not going to be that way. Do you realize that, oh, that you're never going to be settled in your heart and in your mind? You're never going to be settled in your soul and be able to enjoy life and while you're churning like a troubled sea. You're just never going to be. But whenever God speaks to your heart, and when God becomes real in your life, there ought to be some contentment. There ought to be. Did you know the Bible said that godliness with contentment's a great gain? Somebody say, "You know, I'm just so unhappy." Are you saved? Well, yeah. And are you right with God as far as you know how to do? Well, yeah. Have you got plenty to eat? Yeah. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Well, then you ought to settle down a little bit and quit being so restless about it. See what I'm talking about? In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out is that the world's always wanted, wants tonight, will want tomorrow, and they're not going to get it. They won't have peace without the Prince of Peace. They don't really know what peace is. Notice, if you will, please, in Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse 14. And the Bible said, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." All that tells me where the trouble came is that they had prophets that was promising what God did not promise. And notice in verse 15, "Were they ashamed whenever they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush, and therefore they shall fall among them that that fall, and at that time that I will visit them shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is a good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find, look, rest for your souls." Or you know, sometimes is that you're going to deal with people up and down the road of life. And I know it's probably not any of you good people like that, but just dealing with you is exhausting. You go from one flame of hell to another is quicker than you can say don't do it. I mean, before you can get one little thing blowed out and fixed, you've got nine more lit somewhere. No wonder your husband or wife's gone nuts. As I look into that, you'll find is that you can find rest for your soul. I'll tell you something, but here's what the problem was. But they said, we will not walk therein. You're not going to rob me from exhausting myself, being nuts and exhausting you with it. And so notice in verse 17, he said, and I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken unto the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Now, you reckon what the problem was? I can tell you what it was. They didn't believe in a real God. They were not facing the reality of a real world. They wanted to live in a fantasy world. And I'm going to tell you right now is that everybody would like to. Wouldn't you just love to live at Disney World all the time, or Disneyland, or wherever it's at? One of them's out West California, Disneyland, Disney World out there in Florida. My, it's beautiful. I never forget. That's where Nathan fell in love. I mean, I've got pictures on the phone there and all them gals dressed up and around him, you know, and waiting, you know, they were waitresses and this and that. I thought, oh, my word, no wonder he wants to go back and live to Disney. We all want to live in fantasy land, don't we? See? We all of us got somehow or another, we just can't face the real world. Now, I want to say to you is that you've got to be real careful about what you think, about what you listen to, about who is speaking. Hey, do you know even Judas had some listeners? Did you ever stop to think about this? We already know what happened to Judas. What do you think happened to his listeners? They never said anything, but let me tell you, they listened. They just went ahead and took it all in. They took the money when it was thrown to them, but they just were not interested in the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. And did you ever stop? You may look it up one of these days. You don't find we're any of that bunch that listened to Judas got saved. Be careful the next time somebody's buzzing and vomiting in your ear. Better be careful. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out, no wonder they're not rest. They're not. And by the way, let me tell you, is that, and I don't care what any of you do. I mean, it just, I God bless you. And all of that, I mean, some of my kids, they all love Facebook, and I know you're on it night and day and trying to find out the next roll of toilet paper somebody's putting on there. And I don't care that you do that. I don't care. And all that business right there. But no wonder you can't rest. They lock you up somewhere in a room where you couldn't be with anybody but God for a little while. You'd go nuts. Can I at least have the phone? No. What about the little iPad? What about a little iPad? I can't call nobody, but what if I just had maybe one of them little iPads and this and that? See what I'm talking about? Let me say to you, there's no wonder that we live in a restless world that we're living in. God said, I'm going to make all things new. I don't want to tell you this because many of you won't even want to go to heaven if you found out that there's not going to be Pac-Man and some Nintendo or some other kind of little fire and gas, you know. Man, bummer. What are we going to be able to do? I want to say that number three is you're going to find out that here's what the promise is in the lesson. He said, we've got the promise of the presence of God. Did you notice that? He said, and I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Over there in the book of Exodus, real quickly, there's a chapter there in chapter number 29. And Moses, by the way, you know, what a great writer that God used him to pen down the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, that is. And as we look there in chapter 29, verse 45, and the Bible said, when you look into it, he said, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now I'm going to tell you, while you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, is that until you finally come to know him in the free pardon of sin, until you know that he's saved you from bondage, saved you out of Egypt, and saved you and now lives on the inside of your heart, and that he's going to be your God and you're his people, till you rest in the Lord and come to know him in the free pardon of sin, you're never going to have real peace in your heart. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and about verse number 16. Listen to what he said. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. Look at it. He dwells in us and walk in them. He walks because he's on the inside. When you walk, he walks with you. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. While you turn over there in the book of Jeremiah, because that's where we're going to be ending up here in a moment, in chapter 32. Did you know that the Bible said, I'm going to dwell in them, walk in them, and they're going to be my people? And let me tell you something. Do you know whatever God began in you, God that began a good work in you will perform it? Philippians 1:6 said, until the day of Christ Jesus. Whenever Jesus comes again, he's still going to be performing that which he began in us when he redeemed us from our sins and saved us out of the bondage of Egypt. You know the reason why, don't you? Because he's the object of worship. When you and I worship in the Lord and magnifying the name of the Lord together, let me tell you, the Bible says in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Over there in the book of St. John chapter 1, about verse number 3 and 4. Let me say to you, it's good to know him and in the free pardon of sin. Now, do you realize at all that whenever we stand here, and I stand here before that, is that we, as we're a family and all that business there, but God's the boss. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist church? Why it's so dead? You know why it's deader than 10 o'clock? I'll tell you why. They wanted to be the boss. Let me say to you that, if you will, I've got to give an account for every decision that I make, whether it be right or wrong. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the Baptist church, they finally takes that authority themselves. You know, when salvation was given, it's free. And the Lord made it free. Southern Baptists made it cheap. Missionary Baptist took the authority from the preacher and put it out there in the pew. Now today, they don't even know which Bible to use, the BMA bunch. The ABA bunch is no different, and they'll soon follow suit. I said all that to be able to say this: you're just never going to improve on what God said in the Bible. Somebody said one time, well, you know, you take charge like you're the boss. That's what God said I'm to do, and that's what God said that I am. I had an old man one time going to help me out. Well, that ain't what it says in the Deacon Handbook. I said, well, that's what it says in the Bible. Here's the Bible, and here's what it says. Show me what you got. It ain't in the Bible what I've got. It's in the Deacon Handbook. I said, well, wipe your behind on it the next time you go to the, and at least you'll get some use out of it. God don't care, and he's not impressed with it. At one time when we was having the Lord's lunch, and I pointed out to people, I said, look, we're going to change, it's the Lord's Supper. And some old woman got mad, and of course if she didn't get saved, she's in hell tonight, but she said, I had you to know there's a lot of old people that are not going to be able to have the Lord's Supper now that you've moved it from noon, from the morning service until at night. I said, well, ma'am, you're going to have to take that up with the Lord. Don't you think there were some old people when the Lord Jesus Christ went on the face of the earth and right in the Bible? So obviously he had something else in mind. I got to say to you that, if you will, that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that we just need to, you ain't got to vote on what God's already given. But that's what's wrong with the Baptist church across the country. They're still trying to help God out to decide what is and what ain't and what's right and what's wrong among the congregation. In other words, they want it to be a democracy instead of a theocracy. That means democracy, people rule, and theocracy's God rule. There's a young man trying to get 150,000 signatures to get the the NFL, the games moved from Sunday to Saturday. I was hoping that it'd be a Bible reason, but it wasn't. It wasn't whatsoever. It was still just a physical, just a privilege, convenience for humanity. You may have seen that on the news. I said all that to be able to say this, that if you will please, is that our Lord and our Savior, whenever God says I'll be with them, I'll walk in them, I'll dwell with them, I'll be their God, they'll be my people, He is the object of our worship. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Last but not least, I want to say to you that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 32, and look at about verse number 38, and we'll take up reading there as we get ready to close. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart. Look at it. You know what that one heart is? That's the heart of God. And one way. You know the only one way there is? It's through the Lord Jesus. That they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. In other words, if you live for God and walk with God and serve God, and He's your God and you're His people and you've got one heart, one way, it not only is going to help you, it's going to help your children down the road. Look in verse 40 and we're closing. And He said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them, and that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. You know what's wrong with this world we're living in? I can tell you they want to live in a world of fantasy. And they've departed from the living God because He just messes up too much of their thinking and too many things that they're wanting to get involved in and do. I don't know about you, but I'm looking with great anticipation to the coming of the Lord. And every day that ticks by, we're a little closer, just a little closer. And, you know, I got to tell you, I meet a lot of people up and down the road of life. There's two or three people. Number one is that if a doctor's got a needle around me or somewhere, I try not to witness and get him too stirred up. If the waiter is out there, you know, and I'm sitting at a table and about to eat, I don't really want you jumping on a waiter and making them mad that's about to fix our meal and bring out. I'm just a little leery about people that are looking behind the counter and over the, out of the kitchen, you know, and looking across there to see how your reaction is when you get what it is they brought you. That's it. Harass the person about to bring your meal to you. I want to say in closing that if you will, please, God said, I'm going to make all things new. When He saved you, made you a new creature in Christ. He made such a change that others could see it. Others could hear it. Others took notice of it. And I'm glad to know that it's that way. Religion, I'll leave you like it found you. As soon as you dry out from the baptistry, if that's all you've got is a little religion, you'll go right on back into the dog is wallowing, the hog in the wallowing in the mire, or the dog to the vomit, and you'll return back from whence you came. But if you become a child of God, you'll stop eating dog puke. I've told you before, some of these little ones may not know because they just think, you know, you ever see a dog that throws up, and then they go back and they eat it again? Well, I mean, I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't learned it. But what happens is the dog does not have a belching system like you and I have. Now, they can pass gas. I can tell you that, and don't ever feed one turnip greens and then get in the car and head from here to Freer, Texas, because but the reason why that a dog eats and eats, and if you ever notice, they'll just eat up what they don't even want, especially if another dog's there. Anyhow, when they get full, if it goes to hurting them, it goes to giving them a pain. Since they can't belch, they just throw it up. And then in a few minutes, whenever they forgot about the pain that it caused, they go back and eat it again. You ever see that? You thought they just wanted to get a warm meal. That ain't it. And God said, as the dog returns to its vomit, So the fool returneth to his folly. You ever seen people get under conviction, run down, you know, at the altar, hoping, and they're throwing up their sins right there. And then before they can get out the door, they've eaten it back up and gone right back living. And God said that's what they do. They're foolish people. Until you come to know Jesus Christ in the life-changing free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. Bless these gathered here tonight. We've had a good time in the Lord. It's been a blessing from on high. We ask you now you'd hide the word in our heart that we not sin against thee and that we could teach transgressors thy ways.